Good morning, everyone. These hot summer days, like the day we're having today, kind of reminds me of when I was a kid. There's a stream across the road from our house, and we'd always go over there on hot days like this a lot of times, and we'd go cool off in the creek or the stream. And in the stream, in the particular spot where we go to cool off, in the bank of the stream, there was a deposit of clay. So we, you know, naturally as kids, we'd be kind of magnetized towards this clay. And we'd start grabbing pieces of it and playing within our hands, and pretty soon we'd be having a clay battle. I'm sure you've all had clay battles before. And then we'd take in our hands and we'd mold it, and we'd make different things like we made mud pies or clay pies, and we made bowls and beads, and we'd set them out on rocks in the sun, and we'd let them dry. Then after we did that, we usually took them home to Mom and showed her what we made that day. So we were over there for hours and hours. So it was always good memories growing up there on the homestead. But as we took that clay and formed it in our hands, just as we did that, God is shaping us in His hands. We are the clay and in the potter's hands. If you will, please turn to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64 and verse 8. In Isaiah 64 and verse 8 it says, "But now, O Father, you are our Father, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and we are the work of your hand." So here we see, very simply stated, that we are the clay and God is the potter. You would think this is a pretty basic concept and nobody could get this messed up. However, if you will, turn with me to Isaiah 29. We'll see that somebody managed to get this concept out of whack. Isaiah 29. And verse 16. It says, we'll start in verse 15. "Woe to those who seek deep into to hide their counsel far from God, the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, 'Who sees us and who knows us?'" Verse 16. "Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say to him who made it, 'He did not make me'? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'?" So here, you know, man says, "I know better. I know better than the potter. And we're going to switch this around." So here we can see that we must have a submissive attitude and to do God's will and to listen to God. So we must be submissive to God and His will. Now we'll go to the passage I'm sure you're all familiar with in Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18, and we'll begin verse 1. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words.' And I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in his hand, and hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make." So here we have the potter. He gets there, he's making something, and it gets marred, it gets messed up, and he just says, "Okay, smash it down, I'm going to start over. I'm going to make this vessel the way that I want it." Then notice in verse 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my, as verse 5. The word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look at the clay. It is in the potter's hand. So are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So here we see that God is making us amongst, we see that God is in control, and we also see that God is making us into a new vessel. If you will, you might ask, what kind of vessel? If you will, turn with me to Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and verse 17. It says, For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. For you will say to me then, Why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, Why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power of the clay for the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make it his power known, endured much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And in that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. So here we can see there's vessels of honor and there's vessels of dishonor. Obviously, we want to be a vessel of honor. So how do we become vessels of honor? You might ask. In 2 Timothy 2:20, it shows us some ways to become vessels of honor. In 2 Timothy 2:20. Second Timothy 2:20, it says, But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will become a vessel for honor, and sanctified and used for the master, prepared for every good work. So, interesting here, we noticed already, one of the things that helps you become a vessel of honor is that it has to be cleansed. So we need to be cleansed and receive the Holy Spirit. How do we do this? We are cleansed through baptism, and through the laying on of hands, we receive God's Holy Spirit. So that's one of the first things. Now if we continue here in verse 22. Another instruction is given. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolishness and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. So here we have some more instructions to becoming vessels of honor. We are to flee youthful lust. These are things that get in our way of the pursuit. We are also to avoid foolishness and ignorant disputes, which are distractions and aren't profitable. We are to pursue righteousness, love, peace, and a pure heart. These are the things we are to focus on and direct our time and attention to. And they can be, that's a big topic, they can be little things, they can be big things. Okay, moving on to verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them them repentance, so that they might know the truth, and that they might come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So here we see, what does a vessel of honor do? Well, a vessel of honor is a vessel of service. And in our service to God, as we become vessels of honor, we are to be preaching God's way and being examples. And to do this, we need to be gentle and able to teach, patient and humble. We are clay in the potter's hand. We must be malleable as God shapes us into vessels of honor. In conclusion, we see that we are the clay and in the potter's hand. We are the clay and God is the potter. We must submit to God and His will. God is making a new vessel with us, within us. There are two types of vessels. There's the vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. We want to be vessels of honor. To become vessels of honor, we must be cleansed and receive the Holy Spirit. And this is done through the process of baptism and the laying on of hands. We need to flee youthful lust and things that get in the way of our pursuit of the good things. We need to avoid distractions such as foolishness and ignorant disputes. And we need to pursue righteousness, love, peace, and a pure heart. We need to focus on those things. And that also that a vessel of honor is also a vessel of service. So, we are clay in the potter's hands. We must be malleable as God shapes us into vessels of honor for His purpose. Be vessels of honor.